This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Now a public admission. I love browsing instruction manuals. Sometimes I don't even need to buy the thing. Just download the PDF of the manual and live virtually. How a device or software works is like Sudoku, a puzzle to solve. Now, I mention this because I'm aware instruction manuals give many other people hives, and also because the BBC's Hélène Schumacher wrote a digital feature called Inside the World of Instruction Manuals. Hi, Hélène.
Hi there.
Take us first to a bit of history. The instruction manual for the Kodak Brownie camera. I remember that camera.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful example of an instruction manual. It's extremely detailed, very, very thorough, lots of very detailed, beautifully hand-drawn illustrations. But the important thing is it's not just about the functionality of the camera. I think what makes it different and what makes it interesting is that it's actually telling the user how to take good pictures. So it's not just saying, this is how you operate this complex piece of machinery. It's saying, if you want to take a good portrait, do this. If you want to take a good group shot, do that. If you are taking a photo outside and it's a sunny day, do this. And if it's cloudy, do that. And obviously, it being London, then cloudy is something that we are very used to. It's more about the fact that it's kind of creating a bond with the consumer, because it's talking to them and congratulating them on their purchase and saying, this is really how you can get the most out of the Kodak Brownie, rather than just being a very dry, didactic, technical how-to guide.
So that's a lovely example. We've all opened up packages and seen horrendous instruction manuals, ones that either miss steps so that it's impossible to build the thing, or just are completely confusing. And that gives some people a phobia about these things, I suppose.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone, I guess, has their favourites or not. And IKEA is a good example of one that people either tend to love or hate. I think it's quite polarising. Some people respond to the very visual approach because IKEA instruction manuals only have pictures. They have no words at all. And yet other people really crave a bit of written explanation, a bit of help. You know, if people get frustrated with IKEA instruction manuals, for example, it's actually less about the instruction manuals and more about the product itself. Because IKEA manuals have this very restraining aspect of a 2D black and white line drawing, the products themselves have to be designed very, very well and very, very simply so that the instruction manuals can depict that well. And if there's a problem with the instruction manuals, it tends to be down to a kind of issue with the design of the product more so than the actual instructions themselves.
Well, that's the tail wagging the dog, right?
Yeah, it is, really.
An IKEA product designer saying, I got this great idea for this bookcase. It'll look unlike any other bookcase. And then the product manual designer say, no, you will never be able to figure out how to tell this story through pictures.
Exactly, yeah.
Your piece gets, what should I say, philosophical. The instruction manual tells us a lot about the product and how to build it, hopefully, but also a bit about ourselves.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, to be absolutely honest with you, before I'd started this piece, I hadn't given too much thought to instruction manuals. But actually, when I began the research, I realised quite how much they are everywhere and how they affect everything we do, and they impact lots of aspects of lives. It affects everything. It affects complex bits of machinery, industrial machinery, healthcare machinery, you know, machines that analyse blood samples. For example, the London Underground will have instruction manuals to help tube drivers know exactly how to deal with a certain situation. And those are things that get written by people. You know, we tend to think of them as a certain thing, but actually there's a whole wealth of different types of instruction manuals. And that's when I began to research the piece, I realised quite what a fascinating area it is. And really, you know, every single complex product there is, every machine, piece of technology has an instruction manual behind the scenes. So I liked the idea of taking something that people might regard as dull or a bit dry, a bit boring, or throwaway, and kind of delving into it and looking at the language of it, the design and the history, as you say. And kind of analysing, I suppose, also how they've changed over the years and what that says about us. So in terms of how I think they've changed, I think most obviously the format has changed from when it always used to be a paper booklet, and it tended to be quite formal and technical in language. It was usually just words. There weren't really illustrations. And now it's absolutely changed from that format. It can just as often be a video on YouTube or iFixit. And there's another thing that's changed in that respect is that it's not necessarily written by the manufacturers or the engineers. It's actually potentially written by users themselves. So it's more user-friendly.
In other words, they crowdsource these to some extent. Users might be able to contribute.
Absolutely. And this is something that I certainly wasn't particularly aware of until I started researching the article. But yeah, iFixit, and I'm sure there are others as well, is a kind of collection of lots and lots of different user manuals, user instructions that have been written by the users themselves. They're the ones that know. And I think that's kind of an important point, is that a lot of companies, in my opinion, make the error of getting the engineers or the product designers to write the instructions, but actually they know their products too well. You kind of need the consumer or the end user to be able to interpret how the instructions need to be written in order to understand how they relate to the piece of machinery or kit or technology.
But also a design sense can help. In other words, how to tell this story is an interesting challenge. And it takes a strong sense of design to communicate these complex ideas.
Absolutely. Design is at the key of a good instruction manual. I think the absolute number one essential rule for an instruction manual is simplicity. And that is simplicity of design, and it's simplicity of information. How is that conveyed? And you need that clarity, that simplicity, in order to get to the information quickly and easily and then just get on with using the product. Because essentially, a successful instruction manual is one that's used as little as possible. It's kind of the supporting actress waiting in the wings. It's the product that's the hero, the one that the consumer wants to be engaging with, and it's the one that the manufacturer wants the consumer to be engaging with. But the instruction manual facilitates that relationship. If it is an effective relationship, it has to be simple, it has to be well-designed and well thought through.
And hats off to whoever invented the quick start guide, the one pager that gets you going on the piece of equipment. And then later, when you want to truly delve into the full workings of whatever it is you've just opened up, there's the full manual.
Absolutely. You know, someone who has designed the quick start guide is thinking of it from a consumer's point of view, because when a consumer buys a great new piece of technology, they're excited about their purchase. They don't want to have that excitement dampened by a great big long instruction manual. They want to get up and running as quickly as they can. They want that instruction manual to give them what they need and then to kind of get out of the way and enable them to enjoy their product. But also then to have the backup of the detailed instructions that they may need to refer to in the future. And that's the point. It can exist, but it can be waiting in the wings and be there ready for you to refer to it as and when you need it.
So you want to hear how I use instruction manuals to save a lot of money?
Tell me.
All right. So what you do is, like, I'm going to buy some piece of equipment. It's going to change my life. I get very excited. I download a PDF copy of the instruction manual from the web and read it over a course of several days. I learn the ins and outs of the equipment. I really, take a real hard look at it. And I'm ready for that equipment. I realize at that point, I don't really need it. I've already experienced it. Why pay for the actual piece of equipment? And then I move on. Think of the money saved.
Excellent. It's a very good strategy. But it makes me think of another point in terms of how instruction manuals have changed. It used to be historically you would only get an instruction manual after you had purchased something. But now, increasingly, as you have just given an example of, people will refer to instruction manuals beforehand, and it will be kind of part of their consideration about buying a certain product. So it's more about the technical specifications rather than, fixing a certain problem. But it gives you a much greater understanding about what that product is, how it works, its capabilities, and that can make you decide whether actually you do want to have that or not.
Ellen, there is one instruction manual I don't think has been written, or at least written properly. I think you and I could work on it together. What do you say? You want to hear what it is?
Yeah, tell me.
An instruction manual to show men, young and old, how to comport themselves properly. In other words, in this situation, this is how one behaves. Page 69 with a diagram. Don't you think that would be a decent contribution?
It would be extremely interesting to write, a potential minefield, but yeah, I'd be up for it.
Right. Ellen Schumacher is a reporter for the BBC. Her piece, Inside the World of Instruction Manuals, we'll put up a link. Ellen, thank you.
Thank you.